Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to our monthly Platinum group coaching call here for April 18th, 2018, 4-18-18. Gotta love it. All right. So I am here to support you in any way I can. There are no questions that are off limits. Essentially, this is an opportunity to ask questions, get feedback from me, talk through a situation you might be facing, a challenge you might be facing right now. Do have three pre-submitted questions, and so we'll start with those, and then we'll move on to live Q&A. Just a reminder that to ask a question, if you're on the phone, star 2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. If you're on the webcast, so you're logged in to the call page inside the Academy, I believe there's still a dial pad there, or there's a raise hand feature that you can that you can use. And when I see that on my end, I'll unmute you, and we can have a chat. So let's go ahead and get started with question from Jim, and I'm going to paraphrase some of these just to kind of keep it a little bit shorter. So Jim has a – actually, this is not Jim. This is Deborah. Hold on a second. I got these. All right, here we go. Deborah says she's got a prospect who needs a 300-page book written and organized. She's looking for feedback on the project. Wants the book cut down to 180 to 220-ish pages. Wants the examples, case studies to be more interesting. She's got a budget of $6,000 to $12,000. But the problem in the past, she says, has been scope creep. I could easily see this becoming an all-consuming project with lots of changes, so would it make sense to offer something different? So essentially what Deborah's saying, look, it's this prospect wants a lot of this work done on this project. They got a healthy budget, but it's kind of all over the place. I got a feeling that this could get out of hand very, very quickly. What do I do here? How can I quote a fixed fee when there's so much it's still unanswered, and past experience shows that this ends up becoming more work than I anticipated. So what I suggest in these scenarios, and there are many different situations when this comes up, when, you know, it's kind of a big project, there's lots to do, and you're listening to the client and they're kind of all over the place, and you can tell that they haven't defined the project scope very clearly. But you're having to quote something, and or either they expect a fixed fee or that's the way you prefer to work. And I don't recommend going hourly as a solution to this, which is something we can talk about. But so what do you do? And my suggestion is to break it up into two parts. So what you do is essentially you have two different engagements, two different projects. The first project is to do kind of an audit or review of the manuscript or the work, whatever it might be, and then provide detailed recommendations. So think of it as a smaller project where you're doing that work, but you're not doing it for free. You're charging a fixed fee for that, X amount, whatever you would like to do. Let's say it's $1,000. And then you propose that to the client. So the recommendations, you present them, you can even schedule a call to go through them, discuss them, that could be included in the scope of work. And then there is a separate project you can quote at that point or after that point for implementing those recommendations, or at least the ones that the client wants to work with you on, that they agree on. So what you're doing is essentially creating the scope of work through that first project, but you're not doing it for free. So that's a really good way. It's a win-win situation where both parties win, and there's you're covering your risk, they're covering their risk, and can really position you as the obvious choice, because if you're the one going through it, you're now intimately familiar with the work. If they trust and like your recommendations, then it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, they can either do it on their own or they can hire you. And if they don't end up hiring you, that's okay. At least you didn't get into a situation that's just completely out of control. So, yeah, definitely look at that. That works really well with anything that's complex. Websites is another example. If you're talking with a client where they want to basically revamp their entire website. This happens a lot with companies. They were kind of in a startup phase, but now they've grown and they need something completely different. So they're going through a whole redesign and refresh, and it's all new copy. They get new messaging. It's kind of all over the place. They're moving really fast. It's going to be better for you to break it up into two different projects. All right, so Cindy wrote in, and there's some background here, but let me just kind of boil it down. So she's got a situation where she has been new to the academy. She has been doing some things in terms of business development, prospecting, and so forth. They weren't working really well. A lot of that involved Upwork and some sites that just didn't generate great paying clients. And she's starting to implement warm email prospecting, but she's frustrated because she wants to get results as quickly as possible. She is getting some responses to her emails, but her frustration is, you know, what can I do? This is taking a while. I'm frustrated. I'm not motivated. She's just basically just looking for any kind of suggestions, feedback, and motivation. And here's what I would say. Anyone who's in a situation like that, my first thing is, look, it sounds like you're doing the right things. You've made the switch, and you're taking the right actions. So you need to pat yourself on the back because you've turned this ship that was going straight into an iceberg. And now you've turned. Now ships take a long time to completely turn and to get to their destination. And in our case, it's a moving destination. We never quite arrive. So, you got to be a little patient. Keep in mind that if you're in a tough situation right now, you have to take responsibility for the situation. This goes to everybody. I'm not preaching. This is just, something I have to remind myself, too, is when I don't like my current situation, I have to take responsibility for that. Because what I'm seeing today is the effect of a cause, a previous cause. Everything is cause and effect in this world. So if I don't like where things have been and where they are today, that is a byproduct of some causes, of some decisions I made, some actions I took. And it could have been as far back as a few weeks ago, several months ago, or even a year or more ago. Okay. Once you start making changes, we live in a society where, unfortunately, we expect things to happen immediately. Technology, access to information, all these things have just made us so impatient. And again, I'm not preaching. I get it. I'm the same way. My internet goes out for 30 seconds, and I'm already calling, the Comcast. I'm getting upset, and it's ridiculous. So we need to train ourselves to have that patience and realize that, we're a little bit spoiled. I'm seeing the effects of some causes, some previous causes. I'm creating some new causes, right, taking some different actions, and eventually I will reap what I've sown. So eventually I will start seeing the effects of these causes. You can't plant a seed and expect it to start sprouting and growing by yelling at the seed, right? So when it comes to these things that just are kind of the laws of nature, we see them as such, we understand that, and we act accordingly, right? You just know that you got to plant the seed in fertile ground. You got to water. You got to give it sunshine. All those good things. So it's the same thing here. It sounds, Cindy, like you're doing the right things. You're taking some great actions. You're being consistent. You're starting to get some responses. You just have to be patient and just know that you're on the right path. And this is a short-term problem. It sounds like if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to land a client or two, and you're going to be busy, and then you're not even going to think about the situation anymore. So that would be my advice. Okay. Let's see. Andy. Okay, so Andy has a situation where he has sent pricing to two different prospects over the past 10 days, and they were very responsive until he sent the pricing, and now both prospects just have gone quiet. So there's radio silence right now. And he's worried that he may have priced the work too high. So, what to do in terms of follow-up and so forth. Okay, yeah, this happens all the time, Andy. So don't feel like you may have done something wrong. My experience has been that in most cases, if you've gone about it the right way in terms of pricing and handling and leading the conversation with a prospect, the radio silence has nothing to do with your fee. Okay, so just because they went quiet doesn't mean that you've overpriced yourself. That's the assumption most of us make, but it's interesting, having been on the other side and talked to many different clients and then seen freelancers go through this and then wait it out and then find out a few weeks later that it had nothing to do with that when the prospect did get back to them, I just know that in most cases it's not that. So the first piece of advice I would give you is don't jump to conclusions. It's probably not that. What I would do is I would follow the follow-up sequence that's in the pricing execution plan in the academy. And it's a good model to follow. And keep in mind, you'll need to adjust that sequence based on if and when you do hear something back from the prospect. So obviously, if you do get something back, then you need to adjust it, because if they're saying, no, I'm not ignoring you, just, we got to get this thing out of the way first, and then I'll get back to you, then you kind of start back at zero. It kind of resets. So that is a good way to be objective in a situation like this. I find that if you don't have some sort of model like that for following up, you're going to act purely on emotion, and that's not necessarily the best way. So this is an objective way to do it, and I can assure you that in most cases, it's not that you've overpriced yourself. It's just that, it's crazy, guys. If you need to understand that in most clients' businesses, they're getting pulled in so many different directions, especially if you're working in the corporate market, that don't take it personal. They have a lot going on. I'm not justifying their silence. I'm just saying there are reasons way beyond things we may have said, done, or not done for that radio silence. So just be patient. Use that follow-up sequence as a model, and I'll bet you'll hear back soon. And, at the end of the day, if you don't hear back after going through that sequence, like I say at the end, then just put them in your nurturing bucket. I can't tell you how many times I've done that and many people I've coached, and a couple of months have gone by, they've lost hope, they followed the sequence, and suddenly they get back to you. Hey, listen, I'm so sorry, here's what happened. In fact, somebody in the academy just posted in the forum just this week that somebody had gone, one of their prospects or clients had gone completely silent, and they were freaking out. And it turns out that after even all that follow-up, they never got back to them, and they – I'm just looking for it. I can't find it right now. You should check it out. It's pretty cool. 2 months went by, and finally they got back to her and said, I am so sorry. Here's what happened. I've been in the hospital for 2 months in a coma, which is great. That is not the first time I've heard this. I coached someone a couple of years ago. Same thing happened. His client – we worked together on this situation, and everything checked out, and suddenly the client went silent. And a few months passed and finally got back to him and said, I was in a terrible car accident. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks, just completely out of it. I think he was even in a coma too. And so I apologize. Yes, this is now back, in my docket. Let's get started. You just really never know. Those are extreme situations, but it goes to show you don't assume it's your fee. Okay, so that's all I had. Great questions there, pre-submitted. If you have a question or want to talk through an issue, situation, need feedback, *2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. Or you can type in your question if you're on the call page, and I will address it. Okay, got a couple questions from David. All right, so David says, hey, Ed, two pieces of good news. I've just gotten into Total and can get farther now in my transition away from Upwork. I also have 4 hot leads from Upwork who I thought were ready to work right now. The bad news is I'm still waiting to hear back on several quotes after several weeks. This is the second time this year that I've thought I'd be fully booked or overbooked and things just went dead. I know how to keep following up and have been doing that, but how can I keep momentum going in my business when I have a near zero income and no client work in the short term? It's quite demoralizing. Yeah, so it sounds like your pipeline is pretty healthy in terms of potential projects, but I mean, if one or two come in, you're going to be very busy, but nothing has come in, so what do? You're losing hope, you're losing momentum, and just getting demoralized. Yeah, totally get it. What I would say is the tendency at this point is just to kind of stop your prospecting and marketing work because you know one of these is going to pop. But my recommendation would be just keep doing what you're doing. Assume that the work that is pending is not going to come through, and just keep doing what you're doing. The worst thing that could happen is you land a new client and then everybody suddenly who was on hold comes back to you and now they want to work. If that happens, that's a great problem to have. I'd rather see you have that problem than the problem of just sitting and holding and waiting for these opportunities to finally come through. So maybe not the answer you were looking for, but I find in terms of motivation, because I know that's really a big issue here, that there's really not much you can do in terms of like pumping yourself up. I find over the years that the most important thing you can do is just to keep doing what you know you need to be doing. Just assume that the business is not going to come through, not in a negative sense, but in that you need to keep knocking on doors. And really, that's it. That's where the motivation. If you wait for the motivation to come, it won't. You know, it may not come. It may not happen. So motivation is a very fickle thing. It can help keep us or get us started, but it's not going to keep us going. I think Jim Rohn had a quote, motivation is what gets you started. Habit, it's what keeps you going, something along those lines. And the habit is really continuing to do what you're doing. So it sounds like you're doing the right thing. You've made the right changes, David. I would just keep going at it and then deal with the problem of too much work later. David also asked, he says, I have to travel overseas this summer to meet my fiance's family. I'll be gone for at least 5 weeks, so this can't be a vacation. And the local time zone is about 12 hours off from my normal schedule. I'm having trouble booking work not only during this trip but also before it, even though the trip doesn't even start for more than 2 months. How can I spin this into prospective clients as a good thing instead of another reason to reject me? Okay, so if you're going to be gone for 5 weeks, you're still going to be able to work. Okay, I'm having trouble booking work not only during this trip. All right, unless I'm missing something, this trip is 2 months away. I would just worry about today and not plan for contingencies yet. So you said near zero income right now. You got several things that could pop. I would keep, like I said, continue to prospect. And you know what? Deal with it when the time comes. You know what I'm saying? I find that it's you become much more resourceful once you have to deal with a problem than to deal with hypotheticals. So I wouldn't worry too much. I mean, if we're talking about you got to leave town next week, that's a different story. But you got 2 months. Don't worry about that yet. Take it one day and 1 week at a time, David, and just do your best to do that. And then worry about that situation later. Unless you have to be – you're 12 hours off from your normal schedule. Unless you have to be in touch with each of those clients several times a day, every day, then I don't see how the time difference is really going to impact. I mean, if you have to, in some cases, touch base through a call or Skype, and you have to wake up really, really early to make that happen, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, then you do that. You know, you just do what you have to do. I was out at the beach for spring break a couple of weeks ago, and I was in a similar situation. I was able to move all my calls that week. I planned that ahead of time, but, you know, I still had to – there was things that I still had to do every morning, and the way I did it is I would just wake up early every day and spend about an hour on the computer And by that time, you know, my kids were up, and it was no big. So I just worked around it, you know, and that was a much easier situation. Granted, in that I only had about an hour's worth of work, but you know, normally I would have agonized over that. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to work every day. But I just did it early enough that I just got it out of the way. In other words, I made it work based on my situation. So you'll find a way. Don't worry about that. Let's worry about the first problem, which is getting some business in the door, and then let's work with what you got. Tim says, I'm looking forward to the update to the LinkedIn information being put together by you and Melanie Dodaro. Can you give us a broad overview of what we might expect in the update? Yeah. So, Tim, actually, good news is, so Melanie and I have just been, she's been really slammed because she's got a book coming up, a book coming out actually in a week or two. We finally were able to record that session last week. My team is producing it, and it looks like we may be able to publish the updates on May 1st. So be on the lookout for that. So here's a couple of things that stand out for me. One is Melanie is really recommending, strongly recommending, that if you're serious about this process that she outlines, and by the way, the process is still pretty much the same as it was in the original version of the execution plan. She's added a couple of steps, but they're really taking one of the steps in her four-step process and breaking it up into two steps instead of just one. It's taken the same approach, and that functionality, unfortunately, is now only available in Sales Navigator, which is the most expensive level. I believe it's $70 or $80 a month on LinkedIn. So she's really pushing for that because of the ability to tag, to save your searches, and the granularity with the filtering. Is only available, the one she specifically talks about, it's only available in Sales Navigator. So she's really pushing for that because it's really $20 more a month than the business premium version. And I can totally see that. I would say if you want to follow her process, go for that. If you're not, then you don't necessarily need Sales Navigator. The other big thing was, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, you know what? Let me pull up my notes, and I can give you some more because I'd hate to gloss over it. Okay, here we go. And by the way, we're going to do this. The way we're going to do it is we're going to leave the original execution plan intact, but then we're going to put the updated session on top. And then we've created a handout, a summary handout for the changes, and then a top takeaways one sheet for the updates. So she's expanded from four steps to five, as I mentioned. So prospecting, making first contact, engaging in dialogue, building the relationship, and then moving the conversation online. Offline. So one of the things she mentioned was, look, it used to be you can kind of get away with just kind of a quick, hey, how's it going kind of thing. And now you have to be a little bit more, you have to be more personal. You have to be more relevant and more personalized in your communication, which interestingly, it's now becoming more of a warm email prospecting approach. As opposed to the way she originally presented, it was very generic. It felt a very, very cut and paste from one prospect to the next. And now it's really about, okay, be a little bit more specific so that it's obvious that you wrote this note just for them. So that's the engaging in dialogue part. Things in terms of your profile, your headline is even more important now. In your summary, because now most of it is under the fold, the way LinkedIn has changed the layout, the first two sentences or so are the most critical, because if you can't grab the prospect's attention with that, then it's going to be very, very difficult. So that's the most valuable real estate right now in the profile, and most people are squandering that. LinkedIn recommendations still remain an important form of social proof. Look for trigger events and use them as opportunity to engage. So trigger events. Any time somebody in your network, something happens, something changes, they make an edit to their profile, they post something, those are all trigger events, and now that's becoming even more important and more useful inside LinkedIn. We talked about Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Publisher remains a great way to rank higher in search results. A native video, she touched on that and how that's a great opportunity now to present just your content in LinkedIn. And again, it's just another way to keep your name top of mind with people in your network. So those are some of the biggest things. A lot of it was really kind of the mechanics, and you'll see those little details throughout in this update. But just know that, again, a couple of weeks, and we'll have everything ready for you, and we'll post it, and we'll send out an email letting you guys know that it's available. Okay, so star two. Again, star two if you have a question or want to have a chat. Going once. Nobody, no brave souls today. I knew somebody would muster up the courage. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good. What part of the country are you in today?
Today I'm in Northeast Florida. Last week I was in Georgia. I went to a conference in Atlanta.
Nice. Very nice. Were you here when it was just freezing, or was it nice?
No, it was freezing like in the 30s at night and the 60s during the day.
Okay, yeah. Welcome to spring.
Yeah. I got to visit
cooking?
My brother. He just moved there. So how much he's in Locust Grove, which is just south of McDonough and Fayetteville.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's beautiful down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I was teasing him because it was cold there, and it's like, so what do you think? He says, not New Hampshire. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's all relative, right? I mean, at
exactly.
least there's snow on the ground.
Right. Yep. So just a little update. My guys in Vancouver were picking up conversations again next Wednesday. So this is like the ongoing, over a year now project, trying to get some work with them. We did have conversations with the newest guy, and the last conversation we had, I had asked him what his budget was, and he didn't have one because he was still new. So then he canceled two calls we were supposed to have and said he still wasn't ready to give me a budget. And he actually reached out to me after I just said, oh, I'm done with them. The next thing you know, I get an email saying that he's ready to talk.
And did that talk happen already?
No, next Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay.
We're going to talk budget. Yeah, so far it's still a go. We're just trying to decide money. And then a couple people had mentioned that they had reached out to different people and didn't hear anything. So that's one example of what goes on, you know, changing of the guards and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And then last month I was at a conference in Orlando, and I was talking to a guy, and he told me that he had a writer on staff, and he was going to have me introduce me to him, but he wasn't thinking of bringing me on until maybe September. And then a week later, I got an email saying he had an emergency. His writer ended up in the hospital for the next 4 months. So I'm actually writing a... Yeah. So we've had a few meetings, calls already, and I'm writing a statement of work for that guy tonight. So we're just going back and forth over budget. Price of oil.
Man, what does he need? What
it's
kind of work?
All technical writing stuff. So there's a lot of it. Is I ended up having to learn a new software as well so that I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lot of documentation. He told me he wants me to come in for like 26 hours. First he told me 20 hours a week for 4 months. Now he's telling me 26 hours for 3 weeks. I mean 3 months. But he has enough work for me for 40 hours or 80 hours a week.
Okay.
So it'll be a long-term project. I suggested retainer. Yep. Suggested a retainer. He didn't. He liked it until he realized that he'll probably have me work more than 26 hours, and then he was questioning the hourly thing. So he forced the issue about hourly, which is where we're stuck right now. So that's why I'm writing this statement of work, so that he can take that back to the CFO to justify my price.
Okay. Good.
So, yep. So in the So then the conference in Georgia, I talked to, it's a whole different industry for me, but someone suggested that I go, and I went and I talked to 90-something companies in 2 days, and I had done my usual, reached out to them beforehand just to let them know I was going to be there. So I just stopped by and introduced myself, and I walked away with 48 good contacts. Some of them are not yet ready, and because of these courses, I was actually, when I walk away, I just write NYR on their business card. So.
Uh-huh.
And I have 20 of them that I'm supposed to be calling in the next 2 days.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So with all of that. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Yeah, with all that.
Oh, okay.
you have me hanging on the edge of my seat.
With all that, I was looking at putting an ebook together to give them at the trade show as a giveaway. And then also I'm thinking of doing some kind of getting my YouTube channel for the writing industry up and running, because I have it for the recreational boating side, but now I want to get one for the writing side. Just wondering, suggestions on topics.
Suggestions on topics?
Mm-hmm. Length, how to go about it.
Yeah. You know, it's
like,
I would say, remember we talked about this at one point, which is, you know, what, ask yourself what kind of things are they, what kind of questions do they usually ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the common questions that your ideal type of client or prospect would have? And just start brainstorming a list of those. You know, think through the questions people ask you. And you have a lot of those because you're talking to them at trade shows. So you know where there's maybe ignorance, where they they have real legitimate questions, whatever. Great. Just jot all those down. You may want to group them. And I would, you know, if you're going to do video, I would focus on 2 to 3 minute videos, each answering one question as quickly as possible, as opposed to longer videos.
Right. So could one of them be what to expect when hiring a freelance writer, because that's what I'm finding a lot of them don't understand as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you for that one, that's kind of a bigger question, right? So maybe that one, you break it up. Maybe there's like 3 or 4 different aspects to that. And, you know, the first video is just mentioning the 4 things with 1-sentence explanation of each. And then you have 4 videos that dive a little bit deeper into, again, just 2 to 3 minutes on each of those 4 elements, right? So element number 1. element number two. Maybe it's the collaboration part or the project management part. Or element number three is, you know, how to get them the right information or hook them up with the right people. Whatever, and because you don't want it's not that you don't want this. It's just in a B2B setting, it's going to be you're not going to get as much traction with a 20-minute video as you would with shorter videos.
Right.
And the other thing I would suggest is repurposing. So if you're going to create content, I strongly recommend that you always go into it with repurposing in mind. So in other words, I'm going to go into this and I'm going to do this stuff, but what else can I get out of it? How can I get three or four uses out of this one approach or one focus? So if you're going to create the video, consider scripting it out first, and then now you have an article. You know, and so now you have an article, and then you're going to have a video. Okay, what else could you do with it? Well, maybe at the end you could compile all those articles into an ebook. That's actually something I'm thinking about doing right now. So I've been doing all these Sunday newsletters, and a lot of them over the past couple of months have been on taking action. I'm thinking about compiling them into a short ebook on execution, on taking action, steady, consistent action. And, of course, there's a little bit of work in weaving all that together, right, so that it flows. But the content's already created. Now it's just a matter of compiling it. And for a lot of people, that format of a PDF ebook is very attractive. So that's just one more way. And then what else could you do? Okay, can I post those articles now on LinkedIn Publisher? Yes. Can I post the video? You got it on YouTube. Can I create native video? This is something Melanie, I forgot to mention, Melanie Dodaro, she's recommending is don't just embed the YouTube video onto LinkedIn, which is, I think, what we're doing here, but create the video natively over there in LinkedIn. So upload it natively, I should say, on LinkedIn. It gets more views that way. So it's okay to have a YouTube channel, but then go ahead and upload that video file to LinkedIn natively. So that way, basically, with one, each of those is you created it once, and you're repurposing four, five, six times. That way you can get the most value from your efforts.
Okay. So on an article that I put on my blog, if I want to put it on, or not if, but when I put it on LinkedIn, is it better to upload it to LinkedIn as a new article, or to, like she's talking about doing with the video, or just putting the link?
Well, that was an example of video. If you do video, then if you have an article on your blog right now, yes, I would absolutely upload it to LinkedIn Publisher as an article there. Just make sure to have a call to action.
If it's a new, right. Okay.
Yeah, it could even be the same content and same title and everything. Don't worry about the SEO. What she was talking about was if you're going to create video, don't just post it to YouTube and then upload the link to the YouTube video to LinkedIn. Instead, upload the video file itself to LinkedIn as well. So it's there natively instead of pointing to your YouTube page, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, especially if YouTube goes down. You don't want them to not find it.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense, right? LinkedIn, I mean, they don't necessarily want people to get away that goes some to another platform. They kind of want
right.
to keep... So they're going to give more views and more attention to a video that's just on LinkedIn as opposed to one where you're saying, I got to send them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, so what you're doing there is not only saving time by repurposing your work, but also diversifying your efforts so that you have your outreach is nice and wide, right? Casting that wide net. But of course, I mean, this all takes work. So I would take it one step at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself.
Right, baby steps.
Baby steps. And then one quick practical tip with video.
Mm-hmm.
With video particularly, it really helps to batch that effort. And if you can shoot like 4 or 5 videos at a time, that's usually better than, okay, this one's ready for video, let's go ahead and shoot it. Because video is one of those things that requires some setup and time, and now you got to get dressed and, you know, do your hair and makeup and all that. So if you're going to take the time, might as well get as much out of that time as possible.
Okay.
Which is very different.
Right.
Yeah,
I was thinking of doing some of the videos, like, down at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the marina.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll probably have the wind blowing my hair all over the place.
Yeah, you got to be careful there in terms of the, the mic, right? Because it could
create
that wind interference.
Yeah, so probably go on a day that there's very little wind, or no wind, preferably.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and just try it out. You know, do 5-6 videos. See how you like it. See how it works. And if it's something that is getting some traction, then, you know, maybe do some more.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I have a lot of them out there for the recreational boating, that was totally different. That's interviews at marinas and boatyards and things like that.
Awesome. Well, keep me posted. I'm curious to know, you know, that's still not a very common approach in terms of content development with writers. So I'd be curious to see, you know, what you end up doing and how it works for you in terms of exposure and generating some conversations with prospects.
Okay.
All right, Robin, anything else?
The question. No, I think that was it.
Well, good luck next week with that that call.
Yeah, hopefully he won't cancel again.
Tell him he, you know, one more and it's 3 strikes.
Well, I was going to send him an email and say, hey, it's my turn. I need to reschedule because I have an exam. I thought originally I had an exam because I've been taking a class on boating weather.
Uh-huh.
So, and the exam was originally scheduled for next week, but they changed it for the week after. So.
Well, hopefully, can just make sure to confirm, and hopefully, just keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully, he'll come through.
Yeah, so if these 2 come through, I'll be busy, 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 which is a good thing.
Yes, awesome. Thanks for the update.
All right, you're welcome. Good talking to you.
Likewise. Likewise. All right. So again, star two, if you have a question, or you can always type it in if you'd like. If you're on the call page, star two. Cool. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, we'll let you know when we get that update released. You know, one thing I liked about, again, that LinkedIn update is the things that have changed, it's not so drastic that the execution plan is obsolete. Absolutely not. Just some adjustments that you have to make so that that approach will work well for you. So it's very doable. All right, last call. I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody. All right. I don't see any more raised hands. Let's see. Our next call, let's see, for May will be on May 16th at the same time, 1 o'clock Eastern time on May 16th. So I look forward to seeing you there. You can always pre-submit questions as you think of them. Each of these calls has its own page, and there's a field where you can always pre-submit questions. And or just show up and ask questions live or listen to my conversations with others, whatever is best for you. So you guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again real soon. Take care.